All right, Alexander, we have to talk about Afghanistan, and the date for the troop pullout is on September 11. And a full troop pullout? Really? So this is interesting, interesting development here. Why don't they just pull the troops out sooner? What's the reasoning behind waiting a full summer? And then what's the message behind the date? Is it just coincidence? What's going on here with this story and this announcement?
I have to say the date is an extraordinary thing. I mean, for the United States to pull its troops out of Afghanistan on 9/11, which is essentially, that's the date, 9/11/2021, but it's the date. That seems to me an extraordinary thing. And I wonder whether, again, that's been thought through and whether the implications of what, you know, what that the symbol of that have been fully understood and assimilated by people in Washington. Because to be quite clear, this is a retreat. And, you know, let's be frank about this. It's something the United States should be doing. It's something that Donald Trump repeatedly tried to do. He repeatedly tried to get US troops out of Afghanistan. He was obstructed and blocked at every turn. The rhinos in the Congress went teamed up with the Democrats and the media, and every time he tried to do it, Donald Trump came under furious and vehement attack. He finally got round to agreeing a package, a deal with the Taliban, whereby US troops would be withdrawn from Afghanistan at the beginning of May of this year. Biden comes along. He says, well, he's not going to do what Trump agreed. He's going to go against Trump's decision. He faces exactly the same facts as Trump did. And so now we get this announcement again that they're all going to be withdrawn by 9/11. It doesn't look very impressive. And again, I ask this fundamental question. I don't think anybody really knows the answer to this. What has the United States achieved? What does the United States achieve by postponing till September a pullout which was intended to take place in May? Will that pullout in September even happen? Will the neocons mobilise, as they have repeatedly done in the past, to obstruct it? I mean, there was all sorts of diplomatic games that the Biden administration very desultorily attempted. They tried to get the Indians involved. They tried to get Turkey involved. The Taliban would have absolutely none of it. And, of course, all that diplomatic activity led to nothing. But it seems to me that that was again intended to provide a face-saving compromise for a pullback. Now that pullback is going to happen. It's going to happen on 9/11. A few weeks afterwards, the Afghan government will probably collapse. The Taliban will be back in control. And it will look all shambolic. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense. And again, one does wonder whether it's a reflection of push and pull within the Biden administration or Biden-Harris administration, with the president himself once again unable to control things and make decisions, which makes me wonder whether this pullout in September is really going to take place.
Okay, so this means all of, even the NATO forces, because Blinken's going to be meeting with NATO soon. So this means all the NATO forces, everything's going to pull out, which means what was this, what was all of this for? 20 years. What was all of it for?
20 years, trillions of dollars, all thrown away. I mean, when the United States first went into Afghanistan in 2001, I mean, there was some kind of rationale. I mean, they wanted to get Osama bin Laden and break up al-Qaeda and all that. And so they went in and, you know, Osama fled and al-Qaeda was driven out of Afghanistan for a time. And you could have argued then, and it would have been perfectly valid to say at that point, mission accomplished. And, you know, pull your troops out then and go on a manhunt for Osama. Or perhaps you could have done something else. You could have negotiated with the Taliban, not gone into Afghanistan at all. The Taliban was sort of hinting that they might hand Osama over. might have been possible. But regardless, clinging on for 20 years, antagonizing all the neighboring countries, Pakistan, Iran, Russia, China, by saying that you're going to use Afghanistan as some kind of a base to build your pipelines into Central Asia, turning everybody in the region against you. I mean, it was just a completely foolish policy, and it has ended in total failure. Complete failure. You have a government in Afghanistan that is utterly corrupt, completely dysfunctional, a military that's barely functional as well, can't really survive without US support. Everybody expects it all to fail, and fail very soon. And it will fail in a way that will probably make it possible for Al-Qaeda, which was driven out of Afghanistan in 2001, to come back to Afghanistan again. I mean, you can't overstate the extent of this debacle. Now, sometimes, you know, what we British say, if you're in a hole, stop digging. The United States should have recognised and realised that long ago. They should have realised that Afghanistan wasn't working out. They should have pulled out, well, at least 10 years ago. Obama apparently dabbled with the idea, but he chickened out of doing it. Trump wanted to do it. He was blocked at every turn. Biden says he will now do it. We will see if he does. But, you know, an endless war leading nowhere, no sign of any victory, trillions of dollars spent, American soldiers killed, NATO soldiers killed, lots of Afghans killed, and in the end, absolutely nothing achieved.
Yeah, but, okay, the neocons and the rhinos are not going to be happy with this. So they'll they'll do their best to keep the troops in Afghanistan. And if Biden dare goes against their wishes, I mean, they'll turn on Biden. There's no doubt about it. They'll turn on him very, very quickly. But it comes to war and regime change and stuff like that. The neocons and the rhinos, they're going to they'll have none of this troop pullout stuff. It doesn't matter if it's Republican, Democrat. They don't care. That's the first point. The second point is, I agree with you. The U.S. should have gotten out of there a long, long time ago. Get the hell out of there. What are you doing there? But the reality is that they didn't. So what would have made Trump's pullout from Afghanistan different than Biden's? I mean, was the country going to collapse, or was the country set up to collapse? Either way, no matter who pulled out, whether it was Obama, Trump, or Biden, or is there a way to do this properly so that at least you give the people of Afghanistan a chance to live a normal life in not a failed state, in a sovereign state with a future?
I'm going to tell you exactly what the difference was, and it is a fundamental one. Donald Trump talked to the Taliban. He actually negotiated with them. He was prepared to cut deals with them. That meant that they felt that they had a deal with him. They could respect him, and they could do things with him that they might have agreed to things with him. In fact, they probably would have agreed to things with him in their own interests, because they want U.S. economic support and all that, like keeping Al-Qaeda out. That might well have been a deal that Trump and the Taliban might have agreed to together. Now, what is going to happen if the U.S. pulls out in September is that it will not be the result of a deal between Trump and the Taliban, or between the United States and the Taliban. It will be, and it will be seen to be, a US retreat, because the US is pulling out its troops because ultimately it couldn't live up to the terms of its deal with the Taliban, but it found that it couldn't win. So the Taliban will take power at some point, probably at the end of this year, not as a result of a deal that it has done with the US administration, but because it has outstayed the United States and won a victory. So that is a fundamental difference. It matters. It matters, because if the Taliban is able to say convincingly to its own people, we drove out the United States, then that changes the whole dynamic of how the Taliban might decide to govern Afghanistan in future. We could see it slipping back towards the kind of radicalism it had in the 1990s when it was hosting entities like Al-Qaeda, whereas instead, if it had come to power through a negotiated deal as part of a dialogue with the US, it's conceivable it might have become a part of the modern world and might have agreed to form some sort of a government that might have brought some measure of stability to Afghanistan with which the United States could in future engage. So it is a fundamental difference. Now, I completely agree with you that the neocons wrecked every attempt Donald Trump made to pull the troops out of Afghanistan and to negotiate the deal with the Taliban. Except, as I said, that he did ultimately manage to come to this deal. But they wrecked that too by getting Biden elected, as they would see. Now, if Biden goes ahead and goes against them and pulls the troops out, as he now says he will do, they will turn on him. And in fact, I am already reading articles. I read one last night in Washington Examiner by a neocon writer who's already talking about betrayal and betraying the gallant Afghan army that is fighting on behalf of the US, and you know how US national security is being compromised by agreeing to do this thing. And they're going to be working overtime between now and September to reverse this. And they have all the usual allies in Congress, the Lindsey Grahams and, you know, the Warners and all those sort of people who are going to be back arguing that the United States should stay in Afghanistan, spend trillions of dollars more and keep its troops in Afghanistan indefinitely. And what made that article in Washington Examiner, it's absolutely typical of neocon articles, by the way, neocon commentaries about Afghanistan, is that they offered no solution to the strategic dilemma the United States is facing. They didn't come up, that article didn't propose anything that might achieve any clear objective in Afghanistan by keeping the troops there. It didn't set out a possible approach towards achieving victory. In fact, it even admitted that military victory and even political stabilization in Afghanistan is impossible. And yet it still said that the US should keep its troops there to prevent the Taliban from winning. A ludicrous, absurd policy, but it's the one that neocons always insist on and always insist on trying to impose on administrations. And it's possible, that's highly likely, they will succeed again against Donald Trump. They had a real adversary with Joe Biden and with Kamala Harris. Let's be frank about it. They don't. They managed to scare Obama into doing what they wanted. It's quite likely they'll manage the same with this administration also. I mean, again, what did we have when Biden-Harris became the administration? Did they do what Trump said? Did they actually stick to the timetable of the deal that Trump made with the Taliban? Did they say they'd pull out of their troops from Afghanistan? Did they honour that commitment? No, they didn't. They went back on it. They tried to set up a whole weird and wonderful negotiation in order to rationalise keeping US troops there in Afghanistan beyond the May deadline. And then, of course, when that fell apart, they said, oh my goodness, we can't really continue with that. Let's pull them out after all. Again, when you have an administration that is so unstructured and so dysfunctional, it's quite possible that the neocons, who are nothing if not well organised in Washington, when they push back, will push on an open door and we will see the US remaining in Afghanistan beyond September, seeing the situation there still go from bad to worse, more Americans killed, more trillions of dollars spent, more trouble, more chaos, and nothing useful achieved. But the neocons, as we've discussed so often on so many programs, have no reverse gear. They never retreat willingly from any situation, however unsustainable and undefendable it's become.
Yeah, I think of, let me just say that if they keep the troops in, it sounds like they're screwed, because things are just going to go from bad to worse. If they pull out, it looks like Afghanistan is just going to be left to the mercy of the Taliban. I understand the difference that Trump brought to the table is that he was willing to negotiate. He loved to negotiate, and he was willing to negotiate. We saw that time and time again in North Korea, and we also saw that in Afghanistan. Trump embraced the negotiation, even with people that, ideologues like Biden and all these people just, they would never talk to North Korea or the Taliban. But Trump would do it, and he would do it because he had a plan. And I think to myself, with Biden dealing with Afghanistan now, and this question about do you keep the troops in, or do the neocons keep the troops in, or does Biden somehow manage to get the U.S. out and get them out in such a way that the country collapses? But I think to myself, empires go to Afghanistan to die. And I think of the Soviet Union, and then I think of the Biden White House. And is there something there? Is there a historical meaning to all of this? Here we have a Biden White House in disarray. We have a United States foreign policy that is lost, to say the least. And here we are again talking about Afghanistan.
Well, indeed, you may be right. I mean, there's a famous expression, by the way, that history never repeats itself, but rhymes. In other words, that sometimes empires make similar mistakes as they decline and go wrong in the same way. Now, I happen to know quite a lot about the Soviet involvement in Afghanistan. What was particularly crazy about that is that every single Soviet official, right up to Brezhnev himself, knew that sending the troops to Afghanistan was a mistake. I mean, Brezhnev, in his, when he was sober, which he often wasn't by the end, we in the Politburo, they would all agree and meet with each other, and they say, the biggest mistake we can make is to send our troops into Afghanistan. And they ended up sending their troops into Afghanistan because at the end of the day, they felt they had to look strong. And of course, it was a disaster for them. It ended exactly as they themselves had predicted, in a disastrous way, because by that point, the Soviet Union and the Politburo and the Soviet Communist Party had become completely dysfunctional. And it sensed that it was starting to unravel and things weren't really holding together. So they thought they had to make a strong play, or rather they felt they had to make a strong play, even though they knew rationally it was wrong, in order to convince themselves that they were still strong. And if you think about the neocons, in a way, it's the same thing. They propelled the United States into this endless war in Afghanistan. They are not prepared to see it end, because from their point of view, admitting that it's failed is something that they can't possibly begin to accept, because like the Soviets in 1980, they don't want to admit that they're not as strong as they want to seem. So that's what it's all about. And again, Soviet Union, it didn't make the Soviet Union stronger, it made it weaker, it accelerated the point of its collapse. Perhaps with the American Empire, it will do the same thing.
All right. We'll continue to monitor this story, guys. I'll put a 10% discount down below for all Durand gear and merch. Look in the description box down below for 10% off. Take care.